As chapter 11 opens, we enter the third topic presented in 2 Samuel. In the first topic, it was about David's throne, and that spanned the entire time of David's life. The second was David's triumph, and that spanned the entire times of David's life, including what we just studied about the Arameans and the Ammonites and Hadadezer and all that. One of David's last triumphs, by the way. The third is of David's troubles. Now, as you remember, each section lays on top of each other. During David's coming to the throne, he had triumphs, and he also had troubles. During the time of his triumphs, he was still on the throne, and he had troubles. And now we come to the troubles, and our writer backs us up in chapter 11 to a time of the story of Bathsheba, chapter 11, verse 1. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servant with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, and David stayed at Jerusalem. 1 Chronicles 20, verse 1 says this, "In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, Joab led the Israelite army in successful attacks against the land of the Ammonites." The two verses do not give us a time during David's kingship for this spring escapade to fight the war with the Ammonites that was covered in chapter 10. But it's not too difficult to figure out that the trouble David finds himself in next with Bathsheba is in his eighth year as reign as king. So this means that David had trouble with the Ammonites early in his reign, maybe before Nahash became king. Here's the reason why. It's math. Solomon will be the second son born to David by Bathsheba. Solomon will become king at the age of 30 when David is 70 years old. That means Solomon was born in the 10th year of David's reign because he became king at the age of 30. So David will be 40 when Solomon is born. That means that Bathsheba will be pregnant with Solomon for 9 months prior to him being born in the 10th year of David as king. Now, previous to that, she is going to be pregnant with her first child with David for 9 months. That son will die before she becomes pregnant with Solomon. So when we back up 18 months from Solomon's birth, in David's 40th year of life, David was about 38 years old in his eighth year as king when this sin that we're going to study with the sin of David with Bathsheba occurred. Now with the men gone to war, David was left alone. We come to David's sin in the palace. Verse number 2. Now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and when she came to him, he lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, "I am pregnant." Could Bathsheba refuse the call to David's palace? We do not know. She went to David, and he took her in an adulterous act. He was out there in the afternoon. We would call it afternoon. It's called the evening in the Jewish faith, but it's the afternoon. It's after the sun peaks and it's on its way down and night has not come yet. He's out there walking around. He looks down and he sees Bathsheba taking a bath and he can see everything about her and he likes her and he loves her. And he takes her and he brings her to his palace and he takes her in an adulterous act. And we think about this whole passage kind of occurring all in one night. But no, she gets over there in the afternoon and then he kind of wines her and dines her probably so that it goes into night so that he can have a relationship with her. It did not happen fast. Bathsheba then left the palace and returned to her home that was provided to her by her husband Uriah. Uriah had not been with her since he went out with the men of war with Joab. And so the weeks passed, and when it time for Bathsheba's time of regular cycle of uncleanness to happen in the month, it did not occur. And did she wonder? I think she probably did. Did she wait another month just to be sure? Probably she did. And there's another reason for that in here just in a few moments. And we do not know how long she waited, but when she knew she was pregnant, she's going to tell David because she had not been with her husband who had been off to war in the spring months. Now, wars would go on from spring until the men would just really stop the war and say, okay, it's over, let's go back because we've got harvest to do in late July and August, because if they didn't do that, their families wouldn't eat. It was the strangest thing I've ever heard, but it's the way it happened. And it was time to go to war in the spring again. They went back to the same place where they were and started it up again. Now, the adulterous act probably occurred in late March or early April after the planting season. Then his men could go off to war. David was probably told about the beginning of May or June, a couple of months later. And with the notice that Bathsheba and her pregnancy, we hear David make a plan in his palace. So now we come to the plan of David in the palace, David's plan in the palace. He will send for Uriah to come home from the battle, verse number 6. Then David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." So Joab sent Uriah to David. So when Uriah came to him, David asked concerning the welfare of Joab and the people and the state of the war. And then after all that said, then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." And Uriah went out of the king's house, and a present from the king was sent out after him. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and he did not go down to his house. Now when they told David, saying, "Hey, Uriah did not go down to his house," David said to Uriah, "Have you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in temporary shelters, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? By your life and by the life of your soul, I will not do this thing." And then David said to Uriah, "Stay here today also, and tomorrow I will let you go." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. Now David called him, and he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. And in the evening he went out to lie on his bed with his Lord's servants, but he did not go down to his house. David must have breathed a sigh of relief as he sent Uriah out of the palace doors to spend the time with his wife. By the way, we don't know what the gift was that David sent out to Uriah. But David did not plan on Uriah camping outside David's palace door instead of following David's suggestion to go be with his wife. And no doubt David was desperate when he discovered Uriah outside his door the second time. What would he do? In desperation to hide his sin, David sought to have Uriah killed. Here is what David did, verse number 14. Now in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he had written in the letter saying, "Place Uriah in the front line of the fiercest battle and withdraw from him so that he may be struck down and die." So it was, as Joab kept watch on the city, that he put Uriah at the place where he knew there were valiant men. The men of the city went out and fought against Joab, and some of the people among David's servants fell, and Uriah the Hittite also died. Then Joab sent and reported to David all the events of the war, and he charged the messenger, saying, "When you have finished telling all the events of the war to the king, and if it happens that the king's wrath rises, and he says to you, 'Why did you go near to the city to fight? Did you not know that they would shoot from the walls? Who struck down Abimelech, the son of Jerubasheth? Did not a woman throw an upper millstone on him from the wall so that he died at Tebez? Why did you go near the wall?' And then you say, 'Your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also.'" The plan is set. It was complicated, and yet it wasn't complicated. The whole thing about Abimelech and the millstone were simply code words to let the messenger know it was safe to tell David that the plan had worked and Uriah was dead. Once Uriah was dead, Joab sent a messenger, and we hear David's reception in the palace of the news. Verse 22. This is interesting. "So the messenger departed and came and reported to David all that Joab had sent him to tell. The messenger said to David, 'The men prevailed against us and came out against us in the field, but we pressed them as far as the entrance of the gate. Moreover, the archers shot at your servants from the wall, so some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant Uriah the Hittite is also dead.' Then David said to the messenger, 'Thus you shall say to Joab, Do not let this thing displease you, for the sword devours one as well as another. Make your battle against the city stronger and overthrow it, and so encourage him.'" Uriah, David's friend and warrior, was dead. We wonder who told Bathsheba. Was it David? We do not know. The compiler tells us about Bathsheba now, David's greatest sin, and what David did after the proper time of mourning was over for Bathsheba, just like he did with Abigail. David did the same thing with Abigail when Nabal died. Verse number 26. "Now when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the time of mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife. Then she bore him a son. But the thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord." At this point in the story, David probably believes he is home free concerning his sin with Bathsheba. She's in the palace now. The king is going to take care of his faithful warrior wives, or his faithful warrior's wife. He's going to take care of her. He's going to make her a wife. No one will know the child was his. They will all think that he was the son of Uriah the Hittite, of the lineage of Canaan, the son of Ham, the son of Noah. Had Joshua completed his task, Uriah would have never have been born, for he was a Canaanite. What does that make Bathsheba? She was the daughter of Eliam. She too was a Canaanite woman. The Canaanite woman, Bathsheba, is now the wife of King David, as chapter 12 opens. Uriah, her husband, is dead. Her mourning time is over. David has brought her across the street to his palace and taken her as a wife, pregnant with his child, conceived in adultery. David must have thought he was home free and no one would know, but he was wrong. Someone did know. The Lord knew. Someone had access to him every moment of every day, the Lord. And the Lord had a prophet by the name of Nathan. And Nathan was the prophet. We come to the scriptures, to David's rebuke by Nathan. It will come in the form of a story, and Nathan is looking for an injunction from the king on what to do with the king's decision with a certain man. Chapter 12, verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, "There were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and his children. It would eat his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom, and was like a daughter to him. And now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. And rather he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." Notice that Nathan did not go to David alone. He was sent by the Lord. It wasn't of his own doing. Notice that Nathan's story spoke of a rich man and a poor man. Notice also that the poor man had a lamb, a pet, a cherished one by the whole family. Notice also the rich man took advantage of the poor man by taking the family pet and serving it for a meal. Would we not love to have been a fly on the wall in the palace to see the face of King David as he is hearing this story from Nathan, and as Nathan is giving this report? David was known for being a kind king, but he was also known for being a just king who righted the wrongs in his kingdom, and he became angry at times, but he held it right. Nathan had presented his case so the king can make a judgment and deliver the injunction that Nathan is looking for. David was enraged. Who would do such a thing? Nathan was about to have that ruling for the king's decision about the rich man. Verse number 5. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and had no compassion." Nathan received the angry king's verdict. The rich man deserves to die. David doesn't say he's going to die yet, but he deserves to die. He must give back four lambs for the one he took. He must rectify his lack of compassion. He may even lose his life for such a deed. Then Nathan spoke, and out came the chastisement for the king's decision in verse number 7. Nathan then said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, is it I who anointed you king over Israel, and is it I who delivered you from the hand of Saul? I also gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your care, and I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these. Why have you despised the words of the Lord by doing evil in His sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you from your own household. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and under the sun." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, The Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die. However, because of this deed that you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to you shall surely die. So Nathan went to his house. The penalty for what David did with Bathsheba and Uriah in secret will be known throughout all of Israel when the baby dies.